are excited to be able to worship today and excited to be able to come together this first Sunday and start it off diving into God's Word and studying His truth together. And we hope that this will be a time where you can understand more about who He is and His love for you, and that we can take what we learn and share it with those around us. As we start off, I want to thank you for y'all's generous donation to the Lottie Moon offering. We actually exceeded our goal and raised a total of $2,470, which will go to helping missionary work overseas, around the world, spreading the gospel and helping people come to know who Jesus is. And so we are excited about that, and we hope that you will continue to give as God sees fit to His kingdom work, both here in Creedmoor and around the world. As we kick off today's service, I want to start with a passage of scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. God's word says this: "For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory." Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the time to come and study your word. We thank you for the opportunity to fellowship with one another and to hear from you. And we ask that you speak to us and help us to be faithful to you as we share your love and your truth with those around us. In your name I pray. Amen.
us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16.
Justin and Krista for leading us in worship. It's always good to be able to worship together, and I'm thankful for faithful leaders to be able to help us do that. And as we gather together today, I hope that each of you had a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I know for me it was a little different than normal, but it was still a good chance to take a break and to prepare for a new year of ministry and hopefully a good year of ministry as we faithfully serve God together. As 2020 came to an end, it seemed that everyone was banking on this fact that 2021 was going to be a year without problems. That if we could just make it to 2021, we'd be all right. That if once the clock strikes midnight, the ball falls in New York that nobody was there to see because of COVID restrictions, that eventually, once we got to this new year, everything would be okay. But on one of the social media posts that caught my eye that kind of demonstrates the reality in which we live in, said it plainly and simply. It says, nobody claimed 2021 is your year. We're all going to walk in real slow. We're going to be good. We're going to be quiet. Don't touch anything. As if to say, hey, look, guys, 2020 was rough. We need to kind of slow it down. Maybe if we're good, maybe if it doesn't notice we're here, it'll be better. But that's more along the lines of the world we live in. That it's a broken place where crazy things happen, bad things happen, and they happen often. But the thing is, there is hope in this crazy world. And that hope isn't found in a new year, but it's found in a Savior that's here every year. And that we need to change our perspective, not to think of something that the world can bring us, but of something that God has given us. That if we change our perspective to focus on who God is, to understand his love for us, that we don't need a new year to be better, that we already have hope, and that hope is found in Jesus. And so I encourage you to change your focus, to change your perspective, so that we can focus on him. For those of you that know me, I love sports. I play sports as often as I can. I loved growing up being able to play any sport I could and played as often as I could. But my favorite one growing up to play was soccer. I loved it. And when we usually share our sports stories, we share our highlights, right? We get the SEC or SC top 10, and we try to share how good we were at sports. But today I want to share with you how bad I was at sports. There was one year, right at the beginning of my middle school, that we were very effective on the field at losing. We lost every single regular season game. In fact, we didn't even score a point until the last game of the season. We were awful, terrible. In fact, by the end of the season, we were absolutely done, ready for it to be over, just hoping that the next season would be better. It couldn't be any worse, right? And the new season came quickly as there was a surprise tournament at the end of the season. And we didn't think anything of it because we were in dead last, lost every game. There's no chance we were getting in. But we actually did get in, only because a team couldn't make it. And so we were put in as the last place team facing the number one team in our very first game of the tournament. And so our mindset was just, man, we're done for. Like, we shouldn't even go to this tournament. There's no way we have a chance of winning. And as our coach was getting ready to help us prepare for this game, he started out our practice with something I'll never forget. He started out and said, look, guys, I know they're bigger than you. I know they're faster than you. I know they're better than you. And we're like, geez, thanks, coach. That's a real morale booster. We're ready to roll. He's like, but how you think about this game is going to determine how you play this game. If you go in it with the attitude you have right now, you're certainly going to lose because you're not in it to win it. But if instead, if you think about the fact that you have a chance to win and go in with a desire to win, you've got as good a shot as any other team. And it turns out he was right. We went into the game. We actually won the game, our only game that season. We lost the very next round in the tournament, didn't have a chance. But we learned something that stuck with us, that what we think about, what we focus on, what we choose to look at in life matters. And that what we focus on is really going to change who we are and how we act in this world. And the reality of the world that we live in is that it's broken, full of broken people doing broken things. And we are to blame because we're the ones that disobey God. Simply put, this world is crazy. Terrible things are going to happen. Crazy things are going to happen. And it seems like we're going to have no hope. And on our own, maybe we won't. We don't. But the more we think about it, the crazier it gets. And if we let our minds focus solely on that, it's going to be a dark place, a miserable place. But there is hope. And when we can think about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, the Savior who redeems us, and this world isn't as crazy as it seems. This world is full of tragedy, yes, but full of hope because of God. And the greatest tragedy we're going to face in life is this thing called a sin problem. That if we start at the beginning of the Bible, like people often do with their New Year's resolution to read through the Bible in a year, we start in Genesis, and then we never actually leave Genesis. But we get to Genesis, and we start at the beginning of the Bible, and we see that God had created the world, everything in it, including you and me, and that he gave the first two people everything that they needed, but that they disobeyed God when they ate from a tree he told them not to. And there were massive consequences. To the point where everyone in the world disobeyed God. Sin spread like wildfire from Adam and Eve to you and me. And every single one of us disobeyed God. But God knew that we wouldn't stand a chance on our own. He loves us still. And he gave Jesus as a salvation to those who would believe in him. That he would be the ultimate sacrifice. That he would die on the cross. And he would rise from the grave. That anyone who would believe in him would have eternal life. Would be brought back into right relationship with God. That Jesus would save. And through Jesus, anyone and everyone can have a relationship with God by believing in him. And this is the hope that we have, that Jesus saves. And when we come to God and we think about who he is and what he has done and what he has called us to do, it changes our perspective on everything. The world around us seems less crazy, not because it isn't anymore, but because our hope is no longer in it, but our hope is in Christ, a hope that will never fail and never leave us, never change. Today, I want to challenge us to change our focus, check our perspective, to make sure that our hope is put in something that lasts, that our hope is found not in a new year, but in Christ who saves. And we can sum this up, this perspective we can have with a question. Are we solely focused on the world around us, that we have lost all hope? Or are we eternally focused on the only hope, Jesus? Today, I want to give us three things that will allow us, three things that will allow us to check our perspective, to focus on Christ this new year. Now that we've seen that 2020 is here and the world's still crazy, we can check our perspective with these three things: to think joyfully, to think thankfully, and to think godly. And as we do so, we can rest in the peace that we have because of the hope that we have in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time to come and study your word together, to see your truth displayed through your word. Help us to be faithful to you, to listen to you, and to go out and share you with other people so that they too can find this hope that exists in you and you alone. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for saving us. In your name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. If you don't, it'll be up here on the screen, and you can follow along with us. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 9, God's word says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." As we start to unpack this passage, we start with a simple word called rejoice. Rejoice here means to show great joy or happiness. So the first thing that we can think about as we try to check our perspective is that we can think joyfully or rejoicingly. It's important to note here that Paul isn't talking about rejoicing as a suggestion in life, that as we check our surroundings or maybe our day, that at the end of it we're like, oh yeah, I should be happy today. That instead of basing it on our circumstances, on our reality, or anything this world has to offer, we are to rejoice and be happy regardless of what happens to us or around us. That instead, we wake up each day and recognize that God is good and God is in control, and that nothing else is as important as that truth. And because of that truth, we have a opportunity to rejoice and be happy because of it. That nothing this world can throw at us can take away the joy we have because of the hope we have in Christ. And it's something we need to really understand, that when we look at happiness and joy, oftentimes we think happiness is a reaction to something. That we're given a cool Christmas gift and we open it, like, oh yes, this is great, I'm so happy. And then the next 5 minutes, we kill the batteries and we lose the batteries, and then we're not happy anymore. Or our parents don't give us batteries because they didn't want to allow a toy in the house. Whatever it may be, we base our happiness on our circumstances. We react to something. But what joy is something that is not based on anything. It is an attitude, a perspective. It is something that allows us to be happy, to be rejoiceful, and to be joyful regardless of our circumstances. And that is what Paul is talking about here. That we are able to rejoice, to be joyful, to be happy always and forever because of God. Not because of the circumstances around us. Not because 2021 might be a better year, although I hope it may be. And not because we get something cool or something good happens, although it's perfectly fine to be happy about blessings God gives us. But ultimately, no matter what, we are to rejoice because of who God is and what God has done. And we can do so every single day. And so the first thing I want to challenge you with is to check your perspective. Are you living life joyfully? Are you thinking joyfully? Are you rejoicing in the Lord simply because of who he is and what he has done, despite the craziness of the world around us? Or are you stuck in this never-ending disappointment and dread that this world seems to give us? Because, you know, there's two people in this world, two types of people, those that know God and those that don't. And to those of you that don't, this idea of being joyful, of rejoicing no matter what, seems crazy, seems far-fetched. That's because it is. Without no hope, there's no joy. And for you, if that is you today, there is hope. And that hope is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. As I mentioned earlier, every person has disobeyed God, what the Bible calls sin. And every single person, including you and including me, have disobeyed God, has sinned against him, and deserve to be separated from him. But God loves us still, and he made a way for us to be with God forever through Jesus Christ. And the Bible puts it simply that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And I encourage you today, if you don't know Jesus, let that be your first step. Start a relationship with him. Find the hope that is found in him. And rejoice always. And for those of you that do know God, let this be your battle cry. We as Christians, as people who believe in Jesus, are called to be joyful people. We're called to be filled with hope and let the whole world around us know what we have. When people look at us, they should wonder what we have. They should see people that are joyful, people that are rejoicing, people that despite the circumstances are loving God and serving him faithfully and showing everybody that they have something everyone needs. And let this be a reminder for us to rejoice always in the Lord, to show other people that there is hope and that hope is wonderful because God is wonderful. And as we rejoice in the Lord, we are also to be thankful in the Lord. And this brings us to our next way to check our perspective. That as we think joyfully, we also think thankfully. We should be full of gratitude and thanksgiving for what God has done, which thus causes us to be joyful. Let's check it out in verses 5-7. God's word says this: "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As we look at this, we see this call to be thankful, and that Paul gives us a couple of ways that we're going to act out this thankfulness. That as we realize what God has given us, it changes who we are and what we do and how we think. And so Paul gives us a couple of things that as we are thankful for what God has done, we act out and live out in our life. The first one is that Paul tells us to let our reasonableness be known to everyone. Some translations use the word gentleness here, which is a lot easier for me to understand what is meant in this passage. The Greek word here uses the word apikos, meaning gentle and kind. In other words, we are to let our gentleness, our kindness, be known to everyone. In other words, as we rejoice in the Lord, we are called to be gentle and kind to those around us. See, gentleness isn't prideful, it isn't boastful, it isn't putting ourselves first. What it means is that we don't insist on our personal rights or our privileges or our agendas, but that we seek to put other people first, that we seek to understand them and their needs, and we seek to help them, and we seek to understand them rather than impose our personal agendas on them. For us to be gentle to those around us is for us to seek to help them in a loving way. If 2020 wasn't evident enough, there's a lot of things that can cause us to grumble with one another. There's a lot of things that can cause conflict between us. There's a lot of things that we can disagree on. But we are called to let our gentleness be known to other people, to those around us, that we are called to be kind to one another. And that as we do so, we're able to show them the hope that we have in Christ. So we are to be kind, to be gentle to one another, to show them the love of Christ, but be gentle in doing so. And then the second way that we're able to show this thankfulness in life, to think thankfully, is where Paul tells us to not be anxious about anything. And I don't know about you, but if you're ever anxious about something, worried about something, it's just filling your mind, right? Someone coming up to you and saying, hey, don't do that, don't think about that, is not very helpful. It's kind of frustrating. It doesn't really help at all. It's kind of like going to the doctor and complaining about a shoulder injury, and you walk in and you're like, doc, man, my shoulder really hurts when I touch it. So he charges you your copay and says, don't touch it. You're like, gee, thanks, doc, that was very helpful. Not at all, right? When we have something that's occupying our mind, we want help with that. We want somebody to encourage us, somebody to help us with that. We don't want somebody to say, hey, don't do that, don't think about it. And Paul isn't talking here about saying, hey, don't be anxious, don't worry, don't do that. Instead, what he's saying is, hey, here's how we're going to help you with your anxiousness, with your worries. Instead of letting them control you, there's going to be a lot of things that's going to bother you, a lot of things that you're worried about, a lot of things that are going to occupy your mind. But don't let them control you. Instead, give them to God through prayer. Let's take all of the things that cause us to worry and to be afraid, and let's bring them to God, the same God who is in control of everything, the same God that we are joyful about, the same God that we are thankful for. Let's bring all of our worries, all of our concerns to Him. See, prayer is talking and listening to God. And so when we give our worries and our concerns and the things that make us anxious to God, we're talking to Him. We're bringing Him our concerns, and we're trusting Him to help us with it. But we're also listening to what He tells us to do, because sometimes He's going to give us things and answers to things that are different than what we wanted. And that's okay, because He knows much more than we do and is better at things than we are. And so as we come to God with prayer, we should give them to Him and listen to Him. And so we talk to Him and we bring our worries to Him and we ask Him for help, to the point where we can say to God whatever we need to. We can go to God and say, God, here are all the things I'm anxious and worried about. Will Alabama beat Ohio State in the national championship? Am I making wise decisions? Is this pandemic ever going to end? Are my friends and family going to get sick? Will I ever be able to go to the grocery store without a mask on anymore? Are this pain and suffering and sorrow in this life, is this ever going to cease? God, help me. This is what we get to do with our Creator, with God. We get to go to Him with anything and everything, no matter how crazy or difficult or silly it may be. Everything that worries us, everything that fills our mind, we can give it to God. And this is how we think thankfully. That is, we thank God for who He is. We give God all the things that worry us, make us afraid, and we trust Him to help us through it. And the only way that we're going to be able to do all of that, the only way we're going to be gentle to those around us, the only way we're going to give our worries to God is if we are truly thankful for what God has done and who He is. As Charles Stanley puts it, gratitude produces abiding joy because we know that God is working in us, even through difficulties. You see, when we choose to focus on what we are thankful for, when we choose to focus on what we are thankful for, everything seems less pressing. And when what we are thankful for is God, who is in control of everything, who created everything, who has a plan better than anything we can come up with, when that is what we are thankful for, nothing else is as important. And this is what Paul gets at in verse 7, when he says that the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. What we focus on, what we think on, is going to drastically impact how we feel and how we walk through life. And if all that we think about is what worries us or makes us afraid, then we're going to be miserable people. But if instead we change our focus to God, we give Him everything that worries us, everything that makes us afraid, if we become thankful for who He is, we're no longer bogged down by the bad things in life, but instead are thankful for the hope and joy that we have in God. And this peace that we get from that acts like a shield from here on out, that no matter how bad life gets, no matter what comes our way, we can rest in the hope that we have in Christ. That no matter how bad things seem to be, there's always something we look forward to. And so no matter how bad things seem, there's always something good, and that is God. But there's also one more thing that Paul talks about. That not only are we to be joyful and to think joyfully, not only are we to be thankful and to think thankfully, but we are also to think godly. And here's where we see that in verses 8 through 9. God's word says this: "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." The third thing that we can do to check our perspective is to think godly. In other words, to think and do the things that God tells us to do and calls us to do. Paul doesn't give an exhaustive list here, but more of a reality check of how we can follow God throughout this life, how we can realign our actions and our thoughts to look more like Christ, so that we can point people to God in how we think and how we act. See, Paul is telling the Philippians here to fill their minds with things that will inspire worship of God and service to others. And so Paul gives us this list of things to help us do that, to help us think godly. And while I was thinking through this passage and how we might walk through it, I couldn't think of another way to do it than to walk through each one of these words. And I know it seems like a lot, but we'll move through quickly so that we won't take too much time, but all time in God's word is good. And so as we continue through this, I want to define each one of these words and how it helps us to really think godly in our lives. First one, it says, whatever is true. We're talking about the reality and the truth according to God and His commands. In other words, we're talking about God's word. What is true is what God says is true. And the only way we're going to know what is true is if we know what God says. And so to think godly means we're going to have to study what is true. We're going to have to study God's word and study it often so that we know what is true, and so that we can think on what is true, and so that no matter what life brings us and tells us, we will know beyond the shadow of a doubt what God says is true. To think godly means to study his word and to study it often. Then it says, whatever is honorable, or in some translations, whatever is noble. This is what means to be deserving of respect or praise. Now, we're not trying to achieve a status that makes us better than somebody else, but rather we're doing things that people see as good, as praiseworthy, as respectful. Like giving to the poor, or helping the sick, or caring for those in need. To think godly means that we think about the needs of other people, and we help them above our own. And then when it says whatever is just, or in some translations, whatever is right, is something that agrees with God's commands. If we're doing something that is just or right, then we're doing something that God says is just or right. Similar to that of whatever is true, we're going to know that by studying his word. To think godly is going to be to do what God says is right, even if the world says otherwise. Even if it costs us to do what is right, we are called to do what God says is just, what God says is right, no matter what. And then it says, whatever is pure. Pure is thinking that leads one away from sin and shame and towards God and worship. You see, for us to think godly is for us to want to live a life where we avoid sin, where we flee from temptation in our thoughts and in our actions. The world around us is going to tempt us in many different ways. You can't really turn the TV on or get on social media nowadays without something or somebody telling you what to think, how to feel, what to do, without pictures and videos of things flooding your minds, things that are inappropriate, things that are ungodly. And if we're not careful, we're going to let the world take us further and further and further away from God as we fill our minds with things that are not of him. Instead, we are to fill our minds with what is pure, what is godly, what is holy, what is right, according to God. To think godly means we're going to fight those temptations the world brings our way. We're going to seek to live right according to God, and we're going to seek forgiveness when we fail. To live godly means to think about what is pure. Then it says, whatever is lovely. These are actions that unite rather than divide. If we are seeking what is lovely, then we are seeking to bring people closer to each other, but more importantly, closer to God, rather than bringing them further apart. There's a lot of things in life that can cause us to be in conflict with one another. There's a lot of things that can cause us to hate one another. There's a lot of things that can cause us not to love one another. But just as God has loved you, we are called to love one another. And so as we think godly, we are to think about what is lovely. We are to seek to help other people come closer to God and closer to each other, rather than seek them to tear them apart. And lastly, then he gets what is admirable or commendable. This is something worthy of praise or approval. Again, similar to that of honorable or noble, but it's talking about your actions and your thoughts that give you a good reputation with those around you. But more importantly, a good reputation for following God faithfully. That when people look at you as admirable and commendable, and they see God in your actions and in your thoughts and the way you live your life. So to think godly is to live in such a way that people see Christ through you. And then Paul switches up the wording a little bit. He gives an if-then statement. He says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, then think about these things. Excellent and praiseworthy is used here to talk about what is acceptable and right according to God that will benefit and help those around you. So what we think about, when we think about these things, then we want to do them for the purpose of God and making him known. We want to make sure that we understand that when the phrase used here of think about these things, it's not limited to our thoughts only, but it's also about our actions. It describes what we think and what we do. In other words, that as we think about these things, we are to do these things. As we think about what is godly, we are to do what is godly. And that applies to all three things I mentioned before. That as we think joyfully, as we think thankfully, and as we think godly, we are to live a life in which we do and demonstrate those things. And this is what Paul points out as he closes out this passage, stating in verse 9, "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." See, Paul set the example for the Philippians to follow as he lived a life worthy of God. He showed them on countless examples what it means to think godly, to think joyfully, to think thankfully. He was a man that was arrested and beaten on countless occasions just for sharing Christ with other people. And in all of those circumstances, he remained as one who thought godly, who thought thankfully, and who thought joyfully. He set the example for everybody else to follow. And we will do well to follow that example as well. To not only think thankfully and think joyfully and think godly, but to live life that demonstrates all of that to other people. That it's not just good enough to think about, but we need to put it into action so that when people look at us, they see these playing out in our lives and they're pointed straight to Christ. As we close today, I want to leave you with this challenge to think joyfully, to think thankfully, to think godly, to live a life that when people look at you, they can't help but to see Christ. And this is going to affect both our thoughts and our actions. That as we continue into 2021, let's check our perspective. Let's see what our focus is on. And let's change what we need to so that we can think about these things. For some of you, that first step is going to be to start a relationship with Jesus. As I mentioned earlier, every one of us sins and disobeys God. Every one of us is in need of a Savior. If that is you today, come to Christ. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you don't know Jesus, start a relationship with him today. I'd love to talk to you about it after the service, but you can give me a call or a text or an email. I would love to help you start a relationship with Christ today. And so that you too can find this hope. You too can think joyfully, think thankfully, and think godly. Rest in the peace that God provides. And for those of us that know Jesus, we're not out of the woods yet. We've got some work to do. Make sure that each day you live in a way that you're thankful and joyful for who God is, that he is good and will always be. Make sure that as you live life, you are thinking godly. You are living in a way that points people to Jesus. Our hope is not and has never been in this world. Our joy isn't defined by it. Our hope is defined by Jesus. And I'm so thankful for that. Because that doesn't mean I have to worry about whether 2021 is going to be a good year or not. I don't have to worry about whether tomorrow is going to be a good day. I have something to rejoice in. I have something to be thankful for. And I have something to share with other people. As we live out our life, let's live a life that shows people this same hope. That as we walk through this crazy life, let's do so in a way that we will point people to God. Let's think joyfully, think thankfully, and think godly. Let's check our perspective. What is it that you are focused on? Is it the chaos of the world around us or the hope of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this time to come and study your word. Thank you for the opportunity to know you, and thank you for the hope that you provide. Lord, if there's anyone that doesn't know you, help them to start a relationship with you, to find this hope that will never end. And Lord, let us live faithfully to you, to think joyfully, thankfully, and godly, and show other people the hope that is in you. In your name I pray. Amen.